Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hopefully, everyone is having a magnificent Tuesday. It is the 16th. It is 3/16. For those of you that watch wrestling, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Certain days just kind of stand in your mind, 3/16, all of that type of stuff that you're a wrestling fan. Although I'm not going to touch 420. Not going to touch that one. It's not 420 anyway, so I don't have to. But we got a lot of stuff to get into today. Today is such a great day. We have a basketball player, not just a basketball player. One of the most popular basketball players there are will be owning something other than a basketball team. So we will get into what that is a little bit later. A lot of signings in the NFL. So, and a lot of them by the Patriots. Go figure. We'll touch on that as well. The Suns won last night. Have sound from that. We'll play that as well. So we'll get into that. And 1:15, my man CJ Holmes will be on. Covers the Philly college scene, hoop scene for the Athletic. Get his thoughts about Villanova. Get his thoughts about the tournament. So we have a big show today. Real big show today. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will tune you up for 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can become a club member. It gives you access to the members' lounge. They have everything you need. Everything you need. You get a locker back to your humidor. It'll keep your sticks good, keep your sticks fresh. There's a refrigerator, wine holder, ice machine, tons of TVs, comfortable seating, everything you need to feel like you're at home. Now, if you don't become a member, don't worry about it. Still a ton of TVs for you to watch. Comfortable places for you to sit down as well. Now, if you can't make it down there right away, no worries. Order your sticks online at Stogie World. That's S-T-O-A-G-I-E world.com. Get your sticks ordered early enough in the day, they will be ready for you, or rather shipped out for you that same day. All that happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, where you can also get beer and wine. When you get down there, though, make sure you let them know PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. We're going to start this early. We're going to open up these phone lines early today. 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. All calls made via the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Do have a caller on hold. Thanks for your patience. Cave Show at PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
What's up, Lou? How are you, buddy?
All right. Got your brackets out yet?
No, I have not. I am waiting until either Wednesday night or Thursday morning. There's a couple teams in there that I'm just not sure of.
I wonder which they could be.
Have you?
I'm still working. I'm a little bit disappointed in some of the teams that did not get in, of course. You know, like Seton Hall, which I kind of expected, but I still want them there. But Rutgers got in, so at least it's something.
You said Rutgers, correct?
Yes.
Rutgers is going to be tough.
They could be, yeah. I mean, they're a 10th seed, and a 10th seed has been known to cause some upsets. So it can be done. Clemson's in the basketball.
They're tough. Hold on. I had to draw up in front of me. Do you remember who they're playing? Because I think I was looking at them as a possible upset. Yeah, I think I have them as an upset. Now, I'm going to cheat here a little bit. I got a hold of a good friend of mine that covers college basketball in Carolina. So I tried to get a little insight on Carolina and Clemson. She said Clemson's just about seated where they should be. But I like Rutgers, man. I like that toughness. That might be one of the ones that I'm like, I don't know. I might have to rock with him, Lou.
All right.
So, without giving everything away, I'm big time leaning towards them. I like the way they play. Have you watched them a lot this year?
Yes, I have. I've been able to see them.
Yeah, they play so tough.
Well, don't forget, they're right in my area, so I get a chance to see them a lot more than, say, I would say, like BYU and Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's just good. They kill you with their pace. They get you, you know, they get you going, and you're thinking, you know what it's like? Do you remember back, well, I'm sure you remember, that was a dumb question, but back in, like, 2017, 2018, when the Warriors were winning titles, and what they would do is they'd convince you you could shoot threes with them. So in the first couple of quarters, they're up by about five or six. They're shooting threes. You're shooting threes. They have some falling. You have some falling. And you fall in love with that. And so now you're a team that's kind of methodical, but you're coming up the court just letting it rip. Well, you start missing.
Right.
They start making more. Next thing you know, that five-point lead is 19. Well, now your slow, methodical pace doesn't work, and you have to speed the game up just so you get back in it. And so the more you speed it up, the more you fall in there. They're like, Gonzaga's like that. The more you speed it up to get back in the game, the better they are. So I'm really interested in seeing how teams defend them and how teams don't fall for getting caught up in that deal where we just have to keep up with them.
Yeah. Overall, though, I think.
Baylor's good, man. The key to all this stuff, Lou, is backcourt, and they just have a hell of a backcourt.
They do. Yeah, I have noticed that.
They, in essence, have five guards. I mean, when you really stop and look at it, they can go five deep in the guard position. They can really play. Their issue was they got hit by COVID, and then they came back, and lost in the conference tournament. But I'm not really holding that against them, to be perfectly honest with you. They're still a team that can ball out. You know, before COVID hit them, they were right up there with Gonzaga. In fact, that's the game everyone hated, got canceled due to COVID, because you had Gonzaga playing them, which could have been a possible preview of the finals. But they can play. I'll tell you teams I like a lot. I like Baylor. I like Gonzaga. I love Illinois. I absolutely love Oklahoma State.
Too.
Yeah, I love Oklahoma State. I think they're going to be a good, fun team to watch. I think Georgetown. I have two 12-5 picks. Georgetown is one of them. I'll give the other one on Thursday. But I think Georgetown, I got to tease. I can't give you everything. I think Georgetown is going to win.
Well, at least, you know, Ewing had a better time in that game than they did on during the week when the security guard, like, didn't almost let him get through. Okay.
I thought that was so funny. He's like,
that
look at the
hilarious.
Picture behind you.
That was my
you.
Ridiculous moment of the week.
Yeah, he's like, look at the picture behind you. That's me. Yeah, that was funny. I mean, not funny for him, but that was funny.
No, it was, but, you know, it was funny and stupid at the same time. So, you know, but, I mean, you work in the same building that he did all his greatest performances in, and you don't even know who he is. Okay.
Here's my point. I agree with you. They should know who Patrick Ewing is at Madison Square Garden,
yes.
Right? But
right.
If we really stop for a second, Patrick Ewing is 58. Probably
yes.
The security guard that's working has no idea. His last year as a Knick was, 97, 98, before
yes.
he went to Seattle or Orlando, wherever he ended his career?
Seattle.
So let's just give it even more. Let's just say you were born in 1990. Well, if you're a security guard that was born in 1990, you're only 31, 32. If basketball wasn't your thing, you may recognize him with the flat top and the jersey, but you don't recognize him as a 58-year-old man that's lost a little hair at the top. So,
yeah, but
you know,
you can tell by the pictures up on hang up on the garden wall.
I get you, but I bet you when she stopped him, and like I said, I'm not okaying it. I think, you know, you should know Patrick Ewing when he's walking through the garden. But I'm sure she's not looking at the wall, then looking at him, then looking at the wall, then looking at him. I'm sure she's just like, let me see your ID. So, but it's kind of funny. I mean, if anything, it's humorous that he got stopped going to the restroom in Madison Square Garden. If anything, it's kind of funny. But it all worked out. It's team one. Team went on the right. I got a question for you. What was the last team in the Big East that had to go on a run, had to win all their games in the Big East tournament just to make the NCAAs, but then went on and won the 6 games in the NCAA and won a title? What team was that?
Does this sound like a trick question?
No, what was the last Big East team? No. What was the last Big East team that had to win the Big East to get in the tournament? And then once they got
UConn.
They won, led by?
You mean by the coach or the player?
The player, still playing in the NBA. I got 30 seconds before I got to go to break.
No, I never get these questions.
Kemba Walker.
Kemba. That's right.
So,
listen,
that was
a trouble run.
It was. Listen, we're not on tomorrow. We're back on Thursday.
All right. Monday before the tournament actually begins. Well,
yes. Yeah, and a plan. Yeah, and we're not on Friday during the tournament. Or Monday.
So somebody gets
the tournament. Yeah. We're
it's
kind of
weird, though, this year. You know, Friday to Monday instead of Thursday to Sunday.
Yep. So we're not on Friday for the tournament or Monday for the tournament, but back on Tuesday for a recap.
I'll be ready for you.
All right, buddy. Have a good day, and I'll talk to you Thursday. All right, buddy.
Right.
Take care. Lou, good friend of the program. Always great to catch up with him. Let's step away for a second when we come back. Come on with the one and only, TJ Holmes. It's the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with Pierre Law."
Welcome back, everyone, to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Tuesday, 16th of March. If you like wrestling, you know what that means. It's 3-16. Yeah, I told you every now and then I nerd out. That was my nerd out. Remember, if you missed any of this show, any part of the show, you want to catch up, it's a day that you tend to listen to it, you want to catch up, no worries at all. KSRN is a place to listen to our replay at 3 o'clock. Casual Sports Radio Network. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. And then also as well, don't forget you're listening to us live there at 1 o'clock as well as BTR. All you got to do is go to sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Click that Listen Live button, and there we are. If you click that Listen Live button any other time of the day whatsoever, all of our shows will pop up. Pick one that was your favorite. Listen to it again. Or, heaven forbid you missed one, get caught up and check that one out. Either way, all that can be found at thesportscave.com. Cave is with a K. So it's been a minute since I got a chance to catch up with one of the best young writers you will know. He has his pulse on everything. He used to write here in Phoenix with the Suns and D-backs, everything. Then he went down to the city south of Tempe and covered that school down there. You know, we don't say their name, but he did a fabulous job there. Now he's out in Philly doing his thing there, covering college hoops in the Philly area. The man himself, Philly College Hoops writer for The Athletic, the one and only CJ Holmes. What's up, sir? How are you today?
Paul, I'm doing well, man. Long time no talk. What's going on?
Nada, man. How's everything good for you out there in Philadelphia?
So far, so good, man. Just wrapping up the end of the season here. Hoping the virus can, you know, start dissipating more and more, man. It's been good, man. Of course, I can't really see the city the way I wanted to because of COVID, but it's good to get back into a big city as opposed to Tucson. No knock on Tucson, though.
Hey, listen, that wasn't you. I just say, you know, that other spot in Tucson, you know, as Sun Devils, we get a little, you know, prickety about saying other spots. So that spot in Tucson, and I'll just leave it like that. So how's that cold weather? Because, you know, this time last winter, you were probably walking around in some shorts and a T-shirt.
Oh, absolutely, man. The winter's been brutal, man. We've had a couple really big snowstorms come through the Philadelphia area. You know, it's starting to get gradually a little warmer. I mean, last week, I think, got as high as the 70s. You know, and it's funny, as I'm thinking, man, this time last year, man, I was in Tucson. It was about 80 this time last year. But it's gradually warming up. All the snow's almost melted off the ground, so that's good. I can at least see the grass. But it's going good. Your boy might have to invest in a new winter coat for next year. I'll tell you that.
You ain't lying. I used to like the layers when I was growing up in Chicago. I put on a T-shirt, then a long-sleeve T-shirt, then a sweatshirt with a hood, then a sweatshirt on top of that, then a jacket. So as the day warmed up, I just peeled off one piece. Those big coats, man, they get you, you know, you start. So that's when I couldn't deal with that. So just layer me up all the way.
I mean, I was feeling like a goofy the other day. I'm thinking, oh, it's warming up. It was 60 yesterday. So I go out in the morning to walk my dog in a hoodie and some shorts. Man, when I tell you that wind was so disrespectfully cold, man, I'm sitting there yelling at my dog trying to hurry up like it's his fault. You know what I'm saying? But it's all good, man.
You got to remember, 60 in Philly and 60 in Phoenix are two totally different 60 degrees. But I've got to ask, and this is, I live here, so no disrespect to Arizona whatsoever. But the basketball vibe in Philly, completely different than the basketball vibe in Arizona. How are you liking that, where basketball just dominates so much all the way down? Obviously, you cover the college level, but you can feel it at the prep level all the way up. How different is that?
Oh, it's different, man. It's different. You know, the Big Five, City Six being here in Philadelphia, there's definitely a strong vibes and a strong core for, you know, basketball fans. And, you know, these fans are loyal. And they got to be loyal in a year like this, because the only team that really did anything this year is Villanova. I mean, Temple didn't make – well, and Drexel. Drexel's able to make the NCAA tournament. Villanova's in the tournament. Temple, LaSalle, I mean, they had their moments this season, but they're out. And Penn didn't even play at all. So I'm looking forward I'm looking forward to continuing to, you know, cover these programs, and hopefully they can start rising up here. You know, things will be a lot better. Because here's the thing. You know, because of COVID, I can't even really cover these teams the way I want to. You know what I'm saying? LaSalle isn't even letting people in home games. And, you know, I can't really travel with the teams or anything like that. So I would say at this point, I still don't quite have a good pulse, you know, for the basketball vibes here, just simply because I haven't really been able to see them firsthand. So that's why I'm really just looking forward to, you know, these vaccines getting distributed and things getting back to normal, so I can do my job the way it's supposed to be done.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, only CJ Holmes. So let me ask you this, because I know Villanova, you know, even with everything going on, you have a pretty good pulse of what's happening. This is a team, I know Gonzaga was winning, I know Baylor was winning, I know Illinois was looking good, but somewhere in me always thought Villanova was the one team that could come up. But then we find out that, you know, Colin Gillespie gets hurt, he's out the rest of the year. Can they overcome that? Because we know how important guard play is in the tournament.
It's huge, man. It's huge. You know, Colin Gillespie, co-Big East player of the year. You know, when Gillespie went down against Creighton on senior night after the game, Jay Wright spoke to the media. And, you know, he was like, Colin is the heart and soul of this team. He's our engine, you know, leadership. He's our leader. You know, practice habits. He's our leader off the court. He's our leader. And to lose that kind of leadership at such a crucial time of the year, it's a huge blow, man. It's a huge blow. And really, it really puts for a team that entered this season with national championship aspirations, it really puts a damper on those hopes. You know, and then you got Justin Moore, the starting two guard, who slid in at the one. He's been banged up with ankle injury. You know, he toughed it out in the Big East tournament, and he's still okay, but the point is that this Villanova team is entering the postseason. They're limping to the postseason. They lost 5 of their last 10 games to end the regular season, the Big East tournament, lost the eventual Big East tournament champion Georgetown, blew an 11-point lead, 8 minutes to go. You know, this team is just really struggling right now during a time where you're supposed to be playing your best basketball. With that said, you still got Justin Moore out there. You still got co-Big East Player of the Year Jeremiah Robinson Earl out there. Chris Archidiakono, the younger brother of Ryan Archidiakono, who played for Villanova, now the Chicago Bulls. He's been solid.
Yep.
He's been given more opportunity than he's gotten in his career, and so far he's been solid. He's not necessarily, you know, scoring, but I don't think this team is looking for him to score. He's been running the show. They've had a full week of practice to get ready for Winthrop here, and we'll just kind of see if they can kind of right the ship and, you know, make the most out of their situation.
You know, the one thing I've always liked about Villanova, and you can just look at the players that are in the NBA, like you just mentioned, as Bulls fans like to say, Arch and Sadiq Bey and Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, they send grown-ups to the NBA, and when the tournament starts, they play like grown-ups because they're not really a one-and-done school. Their guys mature up, and then they move on. So that's why I was really looking forward to them playing. Now, obviously, they're going to have the injury, a big injury in the backcourt, But are these, is this team cohesive enough to get through that? Because that first game against Winthrop, Winthrop can play. That's going to be a tough game. Are they tight enough? Do they have enough, I guess, to get past the Winthrop?
I mean, I think so. Again, Jeremiah Robson Earl is just fine. I mean, I think he put up like 26 against Georgetown in the Big East Championship game. Justin Morris had a full week to kind of nurse his ankle. He should be ready to go. And, you know, those two guys alone, I mean, I wouldn't say alone, but, you know, those two guys are enough to, you know, carry Villanova offensively. The biggest thing about this Winthrop team is that they make, they like to push the pace. They have 8 and 8 three-pointers a game, 6'7" point guard in Chandler Waldron. They can go 11 deep. That's a lot to throw at a team. But one thing about Villanova I can say from covering this year is when the chips are stacked against them, when everyone is counting them out, they always seem to find a way to rise to the occasion. And like I said, they've had a full week, the game plan for Winthrop. Jay Wright is one of the best of the business. And, you know, win or lose, I expect them to go out there on Friday night and put up their best effort.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only CJ Holmes, writes for The Athletic, covers Philly College Hoops. One question about Jay Wright. Did you find out where he gets the suits? And did you call his tailor yet?
I have not, but that should be next on my list, right? I can use a couple of new suits myself. Maybe me and Jay Wright can be lapel brothers, you know what I'm saying?
That's a clean cat, man. That's a clean cat. In the tournament, though, tell me a team that you think maybe is a little overrated. And I don't mean overrated in terms of, wow, there's some busters, but maybe we're thinking too highly of them, maybe against who they're playing or just in general. A team that you think they could get got.
Look, every time I've been on the radio in the last couple of weeks, I've slandered Gonzaga. Every chance I've had the opportunity, I'm going to do the same today on the Cave Show. It goes without saying that this is the best Gonzaga team in recent memory, especially offensively. But how many times have we done this dance, man? How many times have we done this dance just for Gonzaga not to win the big one? And that's my thing. That's my thing with this team. Maybe they make it to the Final Four, right? But I just think someone's going to get them at some point. You know, I always think with these kind of teams that win a lot of games in the regular season, like a team like Baylor, right, who they suffered a couple losses. It's always easier in March to get those losses behind you so there's not too much pressure on you when you get into the tournament. And when I look at Gonzaga's – when I look at the West region that Gonzaga's in, right, you know, everyone's saying, oh, it's such a clear path for them. They have the easiest region. They're playing against teams that, you know, they've beaten in the regular season. But – I'm looking at the West region, and I'm looking at Iowa. I'm looking at Kansas. I'm looking at a good USC team out in the Pac-12. I'm looking at Virginia. I'm looking at a Creighton team that on its best day, that on a good day is as good as any team in the country. Now, you know, who knows how a lot of these games in that region are going to play out. But what I'm saying is I see a lot of teams that on a good day can give Gonzaga a run for its money. And for a team that hasn't faced that much adversity throughout the regular season, for a team that really hasn't had a quality game against a quad one opponent since, like, November, I'm just worried about the Bulldogs, man. It seems like every year we go into the season praising Gonzaga, and they never win the big one. And something's telling me that this won't be the year they do it either.
Wow. You're the first person I heard say that, because – I've been bragging about their pace of play. I don't honestly think they're going to win it all, but I've been raging about their pace of play, so I like that perspective. Tell me a team that you think is not getting the love they should get, and it's going to go a little deeper than we think.
You know, I don't know if you can necessarily consider this team not getting the love they deserve. But I am looking at Oklahoma State in the Midwest. I mean, first of all, they have the best freshman in the country in Cade Cunningham. What is he, a 6'6", 6'7", point guard? And the Cowboys are playing – and it's not just Cade Cunningham. And maybe I'm a little biased because, like, I covered half of Oklahoma State's team in when they were high schoolers in Dallas. But this is a team that is surging at the right time. They didn't win the Big 12 championship, but they made it to that game. And they're just playing with a different level of confidence right now. And like I said, unlike Villanova, they're a team that's playing their best basketball at the right time. They have a first-round matchup against Liberty. I think they should take care of business. In the second round, they could face either Tennessee or Oregon State. Both of those I consider winnable games. And then I'm looking at if Illinois takes care of business, then I'm looking at that Sweet 16 matchup between the Cowboys and the Illini. And, you know, if the Illini don't come ready to play, don't get me wrong, I have Illinois as one of my Final Four teams this season. But that's a game that Oklahoma State is built to win. If you get past Illinois, who's to say they can't win a national championship this year? And that says, and it's the thing that makes all this, you know, so great for this team is they're not supposed to be here in the first place. They had those NCAA violations passed down. They appealed. They're in the big dance. I think they're going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think that's a real tough. Honestly, I think the Midwest is a really tough bracket, to be honest with you. I like Houston a lot, and I got a chance to watch Rutgers play a couple times on a Big Ten network. They're not a soft team at all. They can play. And West Virginia with Huggy Bear, you know they play tough. I'm just looking at this, and I saw San Diego State just take out their switches and just take it to Arizona State, but early in the year. So I'm looking at that region like, dang, I'd want to be a number one. I don't know if that's the one I'd want to be a number one in.
Yeah, that one's going to be a bloodbath.
Man, I think they said, who's the toughest teams, mentally tough teams that play physical? Put them in that region. We'll put them in there. We'll let them deal with 6'11", 280-pound Kofi Coburn if they can make it that far, because that dude is scary.
I was watching Illinois' game against Iowa over the weekend. You know, Iowa had Lucas Garza, a National Player of the Year. And there was this play in the first half where Coburn caught that ball in the lane. And he just took one hard dribble, and Garza went back like 3 feet. And I'm like, man, that's a man shot right there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and just think, you heard about Garza. He played him, pushed him back 3 feet. Played the big kid from Michigan, pushed him back 5 feet. Played whoever they had at Ohio State, pushed him back 7 feet. I'm just like, man, I don't want no parts of that dude. None. Because he looks, he's muscular, country strong. I mean, he looks country strong.
And it's crazy. Throughout this whole season, let me say this. Entering the season, when, you know, all the preseason polls started coming out and everyone's hyping up Illinois, and I was like, Illinois, is that the same team that lost by 30 to the University of Arizona in McHale Center last season? And, you know, I thought they were going to be overrated, but, you know, throughout this year they've proved time and time again that they've been worth every bit of the hype, and it just goes to show you. And last year's team had a lot of the same players that are on this year's team. Kofi Coburn, and it just goes to show how much of a difference a year of experience makes in college basketball. And I know Arizona State fans don't want to hit us, but they're lucky Nico Manning, and Josh Green, and Zeke Nagy didn't come back for their sophomore years, because the tournament field would be looking a lot different, you know, assuming that they didn't – assuming they wouldn't have self-imposed a postseason ban.
Well, I will say this. The Sun Devils had a whole bunch of other issues this year as opposed to what happened in Tucson. That's a show for another day, because it was tough. So I got to ask you, I can't give mine right now because it's a show tease for Thursday, but who wins it all for you?
I got the Baylor Bears, man. I've been on the Baylor Bears all year, and I'm sticking to it now. As we talked about earlier in the show, guard play is so important, especially in March. Having playmakers is so important, especially in March. And, you know, between Macy Oteague, Jared Butler, and Davion Mitchell, Baylor has the best backcourt in the country. Now, I know a lot of people are looking at Baylor and saying, oh, they're not defending as well as they defended before their COVID pause. But, you know, I think they're going to get together. This team is not only – they're so experienced, right? They have so much chemistry playing together. And, you know, this time of the year, I think it's really going to show. You know, this team is hungry for a national championship. It's the reason why Jared Butler's decided to return to school this year, and I think they're going to get it done.
You know, I'm actually really looking forward to this tournament this year because there's not the one dominant team. I know that a lot of people say, you know, you want the upsets early, but you want the blue bloods late. I'm actually excited because it's so wide open. I know Baylor is probably a notch above a lot of teams. I still think the Zags are a notch above. I think Illinois is a notch above. But it's wide open. One thing happens, a team gets hot, they go. Someone comes down with COVID, they're out. I mean, there's so many factors that I think is just so cool to have it so wide open. But, yo, man, listen, I'm glad we got a chance to catch up because it's been a minute. I'm glad you're liking Philly. I've been there a couple times. It's a good city.
Yeah, it's nice, man. I miss you guys out in Arizona. I'm actually, once the season's over, I'm going to try to get out to Arizona for a week or so. So, you know, hopefully I'm out there. You can, create some time for me on your schedule and we can link up properly.
Yo, man, always. There's anytime you're in town, my schedule is automatically free. So just let me know. I have a trip that I got to take out that way. A friend of mine writes for the Inquirer. He was out here covering the Sixers and made a bet with me, and I'm calling him out on air too, made a bet with me that the Giants would have a better record than the Bears. Well, that nonsense didn't happen because as bad as our quarterback is, theirs was even worse. So he already paid up on that dinner out here, so we're going to have a run back bet, and I'm going to have to come out there and let him do the same. So if you don't get here soon before I get there, either way, but Brian, it is always good to catch up with you, and I see your pictures, man. I see you're reliving those Q-Dog days.
Hey, look, I ain't got nothing else going on, man, so I'm dancing my phone chasing old stuff. I mean, ain't nobody want to see pictures of me sitting on the couch playing the game. So I've been on a nostalgia trip, heavy. Ready to start looking forward again, man. Ready to get through COVID, ready to start looking forward and, keep grinding.
Hey, bro. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the tournament, and we'll hook up after and talk about the teams we pick and see how it all shook down.
Always, man. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on today.
Always, my brother. Thank you for coming. I'll catch up with you. Oh, tell everyone where they can read your stuff. I apologize. Man, I was about to let you go.
All right. You guys can find me at theathletic.com, and you guys can find me both on Twitter and Instagram at CJHolmes22.
All right, brother. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Y'all have a good day.
All right, you too. One only CJ Holmes. Listen, read his stuff. Good writer and a good brother even more so. So definitely check him out. Step away for a second. When we come back, we'll talk about these Suns. Keep telling y'all they're a good team. One day you folks are going to listen to me. Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. Cave is with the K, the sportscave.com. The website, Cave is with the K. PLR Sports is my handle on Twitter, so definitely check us out there. It is Tuesday, 3/16, and I bet you guys thought that because March Madness is going to start that I would forget. I'll never forget. Tuesday belongs to Phyllis Hyman. Let it rock! Programming note, y'all, hey, listen, every Tuesday, it's Phyllis Hyman Tuesday, I'm going to educate you young cats, and for those of you know that know, and know you know, here you go, let's just do this. You know I love me, like I said, for those of you that know, you know, you know. Some of these young cats just don't understand. So I'm trying to bring you up, put you on the real game. Anyway, welcome back to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Programming note, like I was about to say, we are not on live tomorrow. We're on a taped show tomorrow. Back live Thursday from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And then off on Friday and Monday for the tournament days, and then back on Tuesday with the live show tournament wrap-up. On Thursday, we will give you all of our picks, all of our projections. We won't just tease you. We will give them all to you. So make sure you are on listening. If you're in a bracket, tournament of champions, office pool, all that stuff, your sheet is not due till Friday. So you better listen to the show on Thursday because I'm going to give you some winners. Hell, you know what? Just to keep you interested, just to keep you on, let me tell you what. USC is going to win their first round game. How about that? I'll throw one out there for you right now. USC will win their first round game. So will, nope, not going to say it. Yeah, well, BYU is going to beat either MSU or UCLA. Doesn't matter to me. BYU is a better team. As of today, who knows what's going to happen between now and that game. So we'll give the official picks on Thursday. Hopefully no COVID or no contact tracing happens. So last night, the Suns did it again. They lost to a Memphis team earlier in the year in Memphis. And they just, the Suns have been accused of a couple things. They've been accused of playing down to their opponents. You've heard me say that too. Sometimes they play better when the lights are brighter than they do when it's a dim night. It's a Monday. Memphis is coming to town. But that didn't happen this time. The Suns hung in there. I think part of the reason is because they didn't like the taste of losing to Indiana before that. They don't want to lose two games in a row. That's their mindset. As Monty Williams said after the game, team is a bunch of poor losers. He said they used to be known as sore losers, but now he's going to call them poor losers. They just don't like to lose. And so they want to rinse that taste out of their mouth as quickly as possible and get back on the other side. But I think the Suns are missing one thing. I honestly believe they could use a little more size. And like I said, Aldridge, not a tradable person, but I think you have to beat the Lakers to him on the open market because the Lakers, I believe, are really in trouble. AD is going to be out for another 3 weeks. They're taking every possible precaution. That does not look good. This is the same thing Golden State did with KD. And then he came back and popped his Achilles. So you know the Lakers are going to be out to try to sign some talented size as quickly as possible. I think the Suns need that piece. I think when the playoffs roll around and the games slow down and things become more of a grind, they're going to need another inside score for when DeAndre Ayton goes out of the game. And DeAndre Ayton, another story, has been taking a lot of heat here in Phoenix for his lack of aggression. I think that's the best way to say it. And there are games that he hasn't played in the fourth quarter. They've gone in another direction. And I think a lot of people are starting to feel, hey, this was our number one pick. And not just our number one pick, the number one overall pick. How is he slowly morphing into a role player? See, I don't think it's gone that far yet. I think there are times where he can play a game and you not know he's in the game. I do believe that. But I think there has to be a level of patience with DeAndre Ayton. We're talking about a guy who really played more New Jack center. He wasn't just a back-to-the-basket type kid, because none of the kids coming up now, or I shouldn't say none of them, but almost all of them are not just back-to-the-basket, you're big, go down low. And so I think he's still learning how to get that seriousness. Now, the only part that worries me is there's a certain amount of dog, a certain amount of canine that everyone has to have to play this game. And so I think everybody in any professional league has a certain amount of canine in them anyway. But you got to have a next level of canine to become an NBA all-star, or that next level, or a constant all-star. See, I think DA is really good. I just don't know if he has that type of drive every single night, every single play. And I think, and when I say drive, I don't mean, I'm not talking about a guy that doesn't want to win. I'm not talking about a guy that's going to walk on the court and just get a double-double just by walking on the court. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that thing that when you walk around, you can feel it when Chris Paul walks in the room. You can feel it when Booker walks in the room. You can feel it when a Jay Crowder walks in the room. And I know I'm just talking about the Suns because I'm talking about the Suns. But you can feel it. You know, then you have guys that smile a lot, but it means nothing because you can feel it when Steph plays. You can feel it when LeBron plays. You can feel it when Kawhi plays. It's just a certain thing. And I know DeAndre Ayton doesn't appear to have that certain thing, but I don't think it's always fair because I don't think that's what they look to him for. But what he has to do is be big, especially when he plays bigs. And he has demonstrated that he can do it, and he can't keep reverting back and forth. He can't one day do it and then the next day not do it, then go back and do it, and then not play in the fourth quarter. And then play, because somewhere it has to resonate to him that he is that dude. He can do this. This is Monty Williams, head coach, talking about DA last night and DA in general.
You know, DA had 15 and 9, but I just thought his presence in the paint was a bit more forceful and demonstrative tonight. There was one post move where he sealed Valanciunas, and I thought he got fouled, but he got to his jump hook, and that's how we want him to play. And I told him at halftime, that's the standard that I'm holding you to. You know, when I'm getting on you and, you know, yelling and screaming at you about stuff, that's the reason why. He has the ability to be a force in the paint. And we need him to do it every night.
And that's what I'm saying. I think that's where Phoenix fans get frustrated. And that's where Coach Monty Williams get frustrated. And Booker and Chris Paul. Because he's demonstrated he can do it, but he has to do it every night. Can't take nights off. The great players don't take nights off. And that's what's important. He has to be able to keep bringing that. Because once you've seen it, once you've demonstrated it, no one can go back on that and feel like, okay, well, maybe he can't. No, you've done it. It's like having a kid and you tell them to go clean their room. And you don't think they're going to clean it the right way. Then all of a sudden you walk in there and it's cleaned perfectly. And then the next time you tell them to clean up the room, it's a half-butt job. And then you're looking at them like, I know you can do this because you've done it. What are you doing? And I think that's the way the Suns feel a little bit about DA. We know you can do it because we've seen you do it. We've seen you dominate at times. We've seen you play with, as Monty Williams liked to say, play with force. So we need you to come out and play with force, not sometimes, but all the time. And I think that's where DA can get better. I'm not looking for DA to be a killer Rottweiler, Doberman Pinscher dog. I'm not. I think there comes a time where you have to accept the player for who they are. And that part, I can accept him for who he is. But at the same time, because you've shown you have a certain talent to do certain things, you got to keep doing that certain thing. You have to. And that's where it gets frustrating. Now, I'm not with this crazy talk of that, well, maybe they should move him. Who is he going to move him for? Now, I heard two names earlier today. One, I think, okay, if you're going to move him, then, yeah, that's the guy you can move him for. And then I heard another name, and I'm like, please don't. First name I heard was Carl Anthony Towns. And we've heard this before, a couple years ago before the draft. We heard it a couple last year, and now we're hearing it again. If it keeps coming up, you know there must be some truth to it because things don't just keep coming up for the sake of coming up. I think Carl Anthony Towns is a very good player. And I don't know if it's just Minnesota or if you look at him differently because he's playing in Minnesota. And you start to think, well, are you looking at him or am I looking at him a certain way because Minnesota sucks so much and they're so poorly ran. And that team just looks like they're always floundering in the middle of nowhere. And am I lumping him in because everything around him is bad? And then you have to start to think, wait a second. We get pissed off in Phoenix because they're doing the same thing or they've done the same thing in Devin Booker. It's like, don't you see how good this guy is? But then you start hearing, well, yeah, he once got 70 in a game and a loss and they celebrated. Yeah, he once did this. But they lost. Yeah, he once did this, but they were losing, 60 games. Are we doing the same thing to Carl Anthony Towns? Is it a matter of getting him out of that environment so we can look at him differently? Is that a trade that will work? I don't know. I said no, but am I looking at it through the wrong glasses? The other trade they said was Nikola Vucevic. I was like, yes. I do that in a heartbeat. He is a really good player. He's another walking double-double. Can play inside, can play outside, stretch it, can go down low, shoot free throws, play a little bit of defense, would be a really good fit in Phoenix because of his ability to move, get to good spots, and think. So we'll see, but I'll tell you this. If they're moving in for Vucevic, it's going to take more than just DeAndre Ayton. And if that's the case, who are they willing to part with? What part of the chemistry are they willing to give up? So you got to think about that one. But last night, the Suns, good win over Memphis. They had a couple days off. They get to rest, which isn't going to happen a lot the second half of the season. They ended up winning 122-99. Memphis played them tough through the first quarter. In fact, that lead after first quarter, then the Suns pulled away, scoring 36 points in the second and third frames while only giving up 27 and 25 and overall holding Memphis to 29 points. Chris Paul got cooking. Devin Booker got cooking. He scored 27 on 10 for 19. And you got a sense in the second quarter coming out to the third that he was just not going to be denied. This was not going to be a game that he lost. And he was ready to get things cooking, for lack of a better phrase. And the one thing that Monty Williams said about Devin Booker and Chris Paul is you don't have to change the game plan for them to start basically cooking, heating up. They know how to heat up in the floor of the game and in the game plan. So you don't have to break game plan for them to do their thing. And but I did have a chance to ask Book, how does he know when it's time to get it cooking? How does he know when it's time to hit that go switch and kick it in gear for the team?
Yeah, you just have to feel the flow of the game, situational. You know, it's kind of hard to put a pinpoint time or part of the game. You know, you have to feel everybody out, feel what's going on the court, who has it going, what team you're playing against, what kind of defensive scheme they use. So night to night it varies and it changes. But usually at some point in the game, I want to get it going.
And at some point in the game, he generally does get it going. And so that dude should be one of the All-NBA teams, first, second, third team. I don't care which one you put him on, but you got to put him on one. Want to get to some news and notes before we have to get out of here. The New England Patriots are still spending money. I think someone just gave them a blank check and no salary cap and said, go do your thing. As you know, they signed Jonnu Smith, the tight end from Tennessee. Well, they went out, and then they signed another tight end, Hunter Henry. Both these guys can catch the ball. And it's almost like Bill Belichick is trying to relive his Gronk Hernandez days at the tight end spot. They also went out and signed Nelson Aguilar, wide receiver that played for Philly, then went on to the Raiders, and now he's in New England. You already know that they signed Cam Newton, re-signed him, and then they also signed another wide receiver in Kendrick Bourne. So these aren't the Tom Brady Patriots. They're spending money. There's no guarantee of a playoff because Tom isn't the quarterback anymore, but this is still a good team. And part of it kind of reminds me of when Shaq first left L.A. and he won his title first, and he did his old tell me what my taste like. And Kobe was in L.A. with a team that was running Smush Parker at point guard. And then all of a sudden, they make the trade, bring in Pau Gasol. Now they're winning titles, and Shaq is ending up in Miami and in Cleveland and Boston and everywhere else. So it makes you wonder, did Tom get that early one and Bill's going to come back and swoop in with two or three more? We'll find out. Another news and notes, we did not mention it yesterday, but farewell to Drew Brees, one of the best that played. I kind of want to play the Mount Rushmore, or rather the quarterback in history ranking game. I'm not going to do that today. I will say this, though. He is not on my Mount Rushmore, and honestly, he's not even in my top five. I think he's really good. Obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner. But you might be surprised some of the names I put in my top 10 all time. We'll get that done probably early next week. Listen, everyone, thank you for joining us today. Thanks for the calls that called in. CJ Holmes, covering Philly college hoops for The Athletic. My man, thank you for calling in. Appreciate all calls remain via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you for joining us today. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with a K, sportscave.com. Cave is with a K, and get me at PLR on sports. Don't forget, tomorrow, best of show, and then back at it on Thursday, live from Maduro's, Cigars with the Cave Show. Until then, I hope everyone have a great couple days. Can't wait to get back with you. Until then, this is the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. And you know how we close out. Temptations, bring us home.